Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to bring the word to you this morning. First of all, Christ built the student ministry. I will not take credit for that. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I introduced our daughter Daphne to the movie The Grinch. Who has seen it? Who has seen this movie? Okay, most of you. Well, I used to watch it when I was younger, but it's been like years since I've watched it, and I probably made up for all the years I hadn't watched it in the past 2 weeks. We've watched it like 20 times, I think. If you don't know the story, basically there's this grumpy green character that hates Christmas. He lives up on this mountain that overlooks the city full of people who love Christmas, okay? And he hates it because he thinks that the people think that Christmas is all about getting stuff, and he hates that. And so he comes up with this plan to steal their Christmas. On Christmas Eve, he dresses up like Santa Claus, and he goes into the town when everyone's asleep, and he steals all the presents. He steals the decorations, and then he takes it all up to his mountain. The sun begins to rise, and suddenly he hears them to start singing. They're singing merrily. And so he realizes, well, Christmas is not about receiving gifts. It's about being together. So what he does is he goes back down to this. He gives them back all their stuff. And then that's the end of the movie. Happy, happy ending. He has realized that Christmas is about being together. So I watched this movie. And then at the end, I thought to myself, wait a minute. He hasn't understood anything. Nobody in the movie understands what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about receiving gifts. It's not about being with family, even. No. Think about it. There's no real joy and peace in any of those things. We receive gifts that we don't often need. I don't need 30 pairs of socks. Or we receive things we like, and then 1 week later, we're just tired of them. Or maybe for some of us, you have dysfunctional families. So spending time with them is like the opposite of peace and joy. Some of you might live away from family, so you can't spend time with them. Some of you might have lost most of your family. For some of us, we might get so obsessed with getting the perfect gifts for each other or hosting the perfect Christmas evening that we just get overwhelmed. When we try to find peace and joy in these things during Christmas, all that ends up happening is we feel disappointed, we feel frustrated, overwhelmed, we feel lonely. So today I want us to refocus on what this season is truly about, what in this season can truly give us peace and joy, and that is Christ. It's the arrival of Christ. We are going to focus on three aspects of Jesus' arrival. He was sent at the perfect time. He was born of a woman, and he was born under the law. Turn to me to Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. In Genesis, okay, we learn that God created everything. He created Adam and Eve. He put them in this garden. They had everything they could ever want and more. They had so much to enjoy. He gave them one command. Sometimes people say, oh, Christianity is all about these commands. It's like they had one, just one. And God had warned them that if they broke it, they would die. What did they do? They were tempted by the devil, who came in the form of a snake, and they sinned against God. The earth was cursed. Sin entered the world. Humanity got what they chose. Separation from God and death. And as soon as they sinned, though, what did God do? God, being full of grace and mercy, sought them out. He judged them according to their sins because he's just, but he promised that he would rescue them. The offspring of the woman would come and crush the serpent's head. The offspring is Jesus, the Messiah. It was God's plan from the beginning to send Jesus to save the world. But from the moment Adam and Eve fell into sin until Jesus' birth, that's 4,000 years. That is a very, very long time. Why did God do that? Why did he wait so long to send Jesus? You would think he would send help immediately, as soon as it's needed. Imagine you see someone at the edge of a bridge. They're about to jump off. What would you do? You would go immediately to save them, right? You wouldn't wait 4,000 years. So why does God do that? Well, God does not make mistakes. God is perfect, and everything he does has a purpose. Look again at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. The fullness of time. This indicates that time had to be filled. A certain time had to be completed before Jesus was sent by the Father. Look a little bit before, starting at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I mean that the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Paul is using this to explain what he talks about in verses 4 through 7. But I want you to pay attention to the date set by his father. God the Father sets the dates. God is sovereign over everything that happens. He sets millennia, centuries, decades, days. He sets all of these things. He governs the times and the seasons. Jesus the Savior was sent at the perfect timing. Salvation came at the right timing. It didn't come when the Jews wanted it, right? The Jews would want their Messiah to come right away to rescue them. But that's not when he came. The 4,000 years between the promise in the garden and Jesus being conceived in Mary were planned. The time was set for a reason. It had purpose. Think about that. This is very important for us to understand how God works in our lives, how he governs the seasons and times in our lives. And he does that as a father who loves and takes care of his children. When I was a little boy, like everyone here, or a little girl, I would often want things, and I would want them at my timing. I would want to do them when I wanted to do them. I didn't want to go to sleep when my parents told me to sleep. I wanted to stay awake all night and then just pass out and fall asleep. Or I would want to ride my bike without a helmet on the road in Greece. And I see the kids sometimes do it here. Listen, it's not like in Greece. In Greece, we drive like crazy people. It's not a good idea. Or if I would do something bad, and my parents would punish me for a month. They would say, no video games for a month. They did that because they wanted me to learn something. That time they gave me was because they wanted me to learn something. But I was like, no, as soon as they told me, okay, I understand. I want it back now. I don't want to wait a month, right? Children often want things that aren't good for them. They want to do things on their own time. Or they want things when they're not ready to receive them. That's why children need parents. They need parents to protect them from things, parents who know what's best, who know when the perfect time for them to receive something is. Parents who understand that teaching your kid, helping them grow, is more important than just stopping the complaining or stopping the whining. That's what a loving parent does, and that's what God does with us. God, those 4,000 years were set by God to teach us, to grow us. We have all gone through are going through times where we don't understand the situation we're in. We don't know why we're stuck in this situation. Maybe you're in a job that you're miserable in, and you've prayed about it, but God has not removed you from that. Maybe you're sick, and you've been sick for a long time, and God has not removed that from you. Maybe you're looking for a spouse, and you're getting older, and you think, oh, you start to panic, and you pray about that, and God hasn't given that to you. Well, I want you to find comfort in the truth about Jesus' arrival, about the fact that God governs times and seasons. He sets the times in your life with intention and purpose. Everything you go through is in his control, and he is using it for your glory and your good, for his glory and your good. He loves us enough to not give us things before we're ready for them, or to not give us things just because we want them if they're not good for us. There is peace and joy in knowing that we have a loving Father who controls the seasons and the times in our lives and sends salvation, sends Jesus at the perfect time. Let's continue reading. Well, we're kind of going back. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And we'll stop there, born of a woman. We went from like four chapters on a Sunday morning to like struggling to finish one verse. Last week, Pastor Jordan preached about how Jesus was fully God and fully man. He never stopped being fully God. My mouth is like the desert, sorry. Jesus never stopped being God. He never stopped holding the universe together while he was on earth. We can also see this in how Paul talks about it in this verse. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, sent forth by God. The word in Greek here means sent from. He sent him out of something, okay? He sent Jesus out of heaven. This implies that Jesus existed before he was born. He is fully God. Notice also, he doesn't say sent forth by God through a woman. No, in being born of a woman, Christ takes upon himself human nature. Jesus took human nature from the substance of his earthly mother. He doesn't stop being God in order to become man. He takes humanity upon himself. He's fully God. He's fully man. I want us to dive into the aspect of how Jesus takes on human nature. Jesus taking upon himself human nature by being born of a woman teaches us how much God loves us. Let's look at, well, don't turn there. I'm just going to go through it quickly. But Romans 8, verse 3 says, Jesus became like sinful flesh. He didn't sin, but he became like those who sin. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, though he was rich, he became poor for our sake. Isaiah 53, you can turn there or it will be on the screen. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. As the one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. I want to ask you today, have you really thought about what it means for Jesus, God, to take upon himself human nature? Jesus Christ, Almighty God, glorious, radiant, who is the most beautiful thing you can look at. His face is so radiant that Revelation says he will light up the new earth. We won't need a sun. Takes the form that has no majesty, that we should look at him. Descends from his heavenly glory, takes on flesh so that he can suffer, be mocked, rejected, and so that he can die. He didn't have to do that. We rejected him, all of us. And you might think, oh no, it was Adam and Eve. Let me ask you, have you broken God's law in your life? Yes, you have. I have. We all have. We all rejected him. He didn't have to do this. The all-powerful, all-sufficient took on human nature. He became thirsty. He became hungry. His body became so weak that when he was taking the cross up to be crucified, Simon had to carry his cross because his body was so weak from the beating he had received. This is Jesus Christ. Almighty God did that for us. The fact that Jesus did this being who he is shows us how much he loves us and cares for us. And remember, he was still fully God. He had control over everything. He stopped the storms with the power of his voice. He resurrected the dead. He healed people. He was fully God. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. Being born of a woman teaches us that Jesus, being fully God, also became fully man. He took the form of a servant, suffered and felt pain like we do. He went through the struggles of having human flesh, and he didn't have to. He chose to in order to save those who rebelled against him, in order to save us. That is the love that God Almighty has for us. and what he chose to go through to save us. That is who this season is about. This season does not need men dressed in red, a bunch of lights, a bunch of presents to be special. It needs less distractions and for us to focus on what it truly is, what it truly is about, Jesus' arrival, God's arrival on earth. It's in that that we can find joy and peace, in meditating on his arrival. Let's look at the final aspect of Jesus' birth. Born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. In order to understand what it means to be under the law, we need to see why God gave us the law. There are several reasons, but we'll talk about four. First, he gave the law to provide a sacrificial system to deal temporarily with transgressions. He gave the law to teach people more clearly what God expects, what he requires, and thereby to restrain transgressions. He gave the law to show that transgressions violated specific rules. He also gave the law to reveal that people are sinful and that they can never measure up on their own. They needed a savior. The law was never meant to save us. Nobody could be saved through it because nobody can follow it perfectly. Look at Galatians 3, verse 10. Paul says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. The law is a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all these things written in the book of the law and do them. The law became a curse for us. We became enslaved to it. We can never be righteous through the law because we all break it. We needed a savior, a man who perfectly follows God's law. That is why Jesus was born under the law. Jesus lived under the jurisdiction of the Old Testament law, and he did so perfectly. Throughout his life, Jesus, having human nature, was tempted to break it, but he never did. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Jesus followed the law perfectly. He did what none of us could ever do in order to redeem us from slavery under this law. We needed a savior, and there was only one person who could take on human nature and live perfectly, follow the law perfectly, and reunite us with God. Only Jesus could do that, and he did. God the Father sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption, so that we may be called sons and daughters of God. It's only through Jesus that this is possible. Only through him can we be united with God, receive adoptions, and become sons and daughters of God. If this is the first time you hear about this, I pray that God would touch your heart and he would reveal himself to you. He would show you what he did so that you would be saved. Church, this is what this season is about. Do not be distracted by what the world has made it. I truly believe the devil has put so many distractions in this time because he doesn't want us to focus on the most beautiful thing that has ever happened, Jesus coming to earth. And we all get distracted by it. Do not let that distract you. You don't need all these things to find joy and peace in this season. You need to focus on Christ and his arrival. Meditate on those things. Meditate on what he has done for you. Meditate on how he was sent at the perfect time because God governs the seasons and the times of our lives. Meditate on what it means for him to take on human flesh, for God Almighty to become like us. Meditate on how he was born under the law. He followed it perfectly in order to redeem us from it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for us. Thank you, Father, for giving us what we did not deserve. Thank you for taking on human flesh, Lord, for being born under the law, for going through all that suffering to save us who rejected you, Lord. I pray that you would help us to focus on you this season, and that you would give us peace as we meditate on your word, on Jesus, on how you came to this earth. And I pray that you would also help us to tell people what this season truly is about. Tell our colleagues, tell our families what it is about. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.